think we'll go ahead and get started. I'm thankful for you being here today, and I will go ahead and tell you that our topic today is called, Is It Well With Your Marriage? So today we will be talking about marriage and love and all those good things, and I'm sure in this room we have a variety of life experiences. We probably have some who've never married. We may have divorced people. We may have widows in the room, and then we probably have some newlyweds, and we probably have some that are have been married for many, many years, and those are our heroes today, aren't they? Those who have really worked hard at their marriage and have had a lifelong marriage with their spouse, and so I think we could go around the room today and we could see how many years of marriage we have in this room. I think we would be surprised. Let's sort of get an idea. How many in here have been married 10 years or less? 10 years or less. Oh, we have one or two of those. Little newlyweds.
I'm a newlywed.
Newlyweds. Little newlyweds. What about people who've been married around between 10 and 20 years? Between 10 and 20? Oh, we got lots of experience in this room. What about 20 to 30 years? 20 to 30, okay. We got some of those in here. 30 to 40. Okay, quite a bit of those in here. Over 40. Oh, we got a lot of those. Okay, over 50. Over 50. Okay, we still got four. Okay, so we have to hear how many years?
56.
How many years? 56. How awesome. What about you two?
57.
50. Oh,
she beat you.
I'm working on 57.
She beat you. And
54.
Okay, so I think Miss Pat is our winner today. Miss Pat Parenta, we have two Pats. It's our winner today. So she gets a little treat, a little box full of goodies at the end of class today. So it pays. It pays to have many years of marriage. How about that? What about you, Janet? How many years have y'all been married?
March 19th will be 49.
49. So y'all are getting on up there. There we go. Okay. So I believe we could take this box today and we could just go around the room and listen to all these memories of their lives together, because I'm sure we have some beautiful stories from many of our married women in the room, but especially those who lived all those many years, and to tell the tale of how their marriage life has been. We're going to discuss marriage today. Think about your own life and the situation that you're in. And while you do that, I want to read to you something that I came across recently called the marriage box. That's why we have a box today. Most people get married believing a myth that marriage is a beautiful box full of all the things they have longed for. Companionship, intimacy, friendship. The truth is that marriage at the start is an empty box. You must put something in before you can take anything out. There is no love in marriage. Love is in people, and people put love in marriage. There is no romance in marriage. You have to infuse it into your marriage. A couple must learn the art and form and habit of giving and loving and serving and praising and of keeping the box full. If you take out more than you put in, your box will be empty. And I think that is a very, I love that paragraph. And what it teaches me is that marriage is hard work. We have to work in our marriage. It's not going to just happen. And I think a lot of people go into marriage thinking, oh, it's just all going to be great. Well, it will be, but you got to work at it. And so that's what I want us to talk about today. I do believe that that is some of what is missing in our world today, is people thinking that they don't really have to work at their marriage. We'll just give it a go. Let's just try this marriage thing out, not realizing that they have to be all in and they have to be the one who fills up their marriage box with all their memories and all the happiness that marriage can bring. So we're going to talk for a little bit on how we as Christian wives can be what our husbands need and desire and love. God made marriage for many reasons. To procreate the earth. That was one of the reasons, right? It was not good for man to be alone. It was for companionship, God tells us. To become one in a very unique way that can bring love into our family, can bring love into the world that you live in. I also believe marriage does other things. It teaches us humility. It teaches us forgiveness. That's the best place to learn forgiveness is in marriage. It's the perfect outlet to learn how to live a selfless life. I believe the purpose of marriage is really to reflect God's incredible love story for us. There's no command to marry, but God gives very specific commands for those of us who do. So today, we want to leave the world behind and let's forget what TV tells us about marriage and what the world tells us. And let's think about what God tells us today about Christian marriages. Let's listen to some scriptures that might be meaningful in our lives. Just as there are many facets in the diamond ring that you may wear, your wedding ring, there are many facets to a marriage. But we only have a short time today, so we're going to focus in on one aspect of marriage. And to me, I feel like it's the most important part, and that is to love. I believe we really do need to learn love for our husband. There may be times you don't even like him, but you need to learn to love him, even in those moments. The Bible tells us that God is love, and he loved us so much that he gave his son and in our place. And while we were selfish and sinful, his love would give us a new life. God calls us to love him first and our neighbors as ourselves. And what closer neighbor do you have if you're married than your husband, right? He is your closest neighbor. So if God is love, and we love God, and we're going to follow the example that he gave us, we need to love our husbands. Of course, God gives us plenty of scriptures. We could go through the Bible, Old Testament and New, and learn so much about how God wants us to treat our husbands. But I also believe that the key passage that we'd probably end up focusing on is 1 Corinthians 13. And that is, love is patient, love is kind. And I didn't print that out for you today. But it's a whole little excerpt of all of the key ingredients to loving. Not just our husbands, but your neighbors, your workmates, your friends, your family. We actually have that hanging up over our bed. And when I was a teenager, I remember going to a youth group meeting, and the preacher said, swap out your name for the word love. Kathy is patient, Kathy is kind, so on and so forth. And that will give you a good guideline for whether you are loving. And I do believe that that is really a good test of, are you a loving person, especially to your husband? But today, what we're going to do is I've picked five verses, and we're going to look at those verses sort of quickly together, and we're going to see how they can be meaningful in our own marriage. Words straight from God. These scriptures have actually encouraged and strengthened my marriage. These are things that are meaningful to me. So I hope today, as we go over these, that maybe you can make them meaningful in your own marriage or your own life with workmates and family and friends, but also, you may think, oh, but I've got this scripture, and it really was meaningful in my life. Then use that to help you grow stronger in your love for your husband. So we're going to start today with the scripture, Ecclesiastes 4:12. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And I'm going to give us a short little statement. Love walks hand in hand in hand. Understanding that two are better than one is what makes most people decide to get married in the first place. The three cords in this verse represent a husband, a wife, and God. As the three form a close relationship with each other that cannot be quickly or easily broken. How many marriages would benefit from reading this verse, from including God in their marriage? Living along the Gulf Coast, I think I can give us an easy word picture to sort of bring this verse to life. All I have to say is hurricane, okay? And everybody gets a little smile on their face, and each of you probably have a plan in your mind of what would happen the day that hurricane is told to us over the news that it's on its way towards us. When the stormy days come, we are prepared because we run to the store and we stock up on food and water. We bring in the furniture and the plants. We board up our windows. We have a plan in place and we work the plan, right? That's how we prepare for stormy days here in Mobile, Alabama. So what about the storms of life? I would imagine that most married couples come up with a physical plan when they get married on how they'll handle stormy days. Perhaps you start a savings account for a rainy day. Perhaps you make a will in case the unexpected happens, promising to love in sickness and in health. In our marriage vows, that's another way we're making that promise that we will stick around in the stormy times. But think of it like this. How many of us include God in our plan? Probably most people in this room did. Probably most of you went into a Christian marriage, but there's probably some who did not. God is very important, in my opinion. Think of it this way. How do you include God in your daily married life? What kind of plan do you have in place? You may think, oh, we've never really talked about it as a plan, but do you do these things? Bible study together, prayer together, attending worship together, important discussions maybe about things we learned in the lesson together. Those kind of things, it's all in the day-to-day moments that we include God in that will help us have a plan on how to proceed when the stormy moments come into our life. I can't express enough how important these small areas are in a marriage. They are planning ahead moments in the storms that will invariably take place. If you haven't had any storms, they're probably on their way. Unfortunately, we live in the world, and the world is full of problems, so we usually get bogged down by some of those at some point in our life. Every Bible verse that we have shared has come back hidden in my heart when the dark times have come in our life. The moment Ed had his stroke 2 years ago, which most of y'all know he had a stroke, the moment it happened, scriptures poured over me. Many of those scriptures we had read together, studied together, been in Bible class learning together, been in church listening to those together. Some of those had been mottos for our family and our children. And those verses comforted me that night in a very powerful way. We had prepared. Had we said, those scriptures are going to help us one day? I don't know that we ever said those words, but we were preparing because we were including God in our marriage. Also, one of those verses, pray without ceasing, was a motto for our marriage. Things would happen, and Ed would say, pray without ceasing. We need to pray about this. And so we had learned the beauty of a God that was there for us 24/7. Prayers were immediate because I felt comforted with God. You know, I didn't feel really comforted by many people the moment it happened, but God was just pouring his love over me, and I felt like he understood everything that was that we were going through. Along with Bible study and prayer, we had been part of several caring congregations over the years, Creekwood being one of those, where we have watched hero couples, many in this room, who have continued to cling to God during their own struggles. You know who they are. Like I said, some are in this room. Charles and Anita Riles. You know, Anna and Ken right now, they're a hero couple. They are clinging to God through a difficult time in their life. And those kind of examples poured over us during our own hard time. And it gave me the power to say, I can do this. God is going to help us through this. I'm holding on to that cord. You know, I'm going to hold on to the cord that God is going to help us through this difficult thing. There hasn't been a moment when we have considered walking this journey alone. Sometimes Ed's been the strong one. Sometimes I've been the strong one. But every moment, even when neither one of us are very strong, God is right there. And the more we have prayed and been a part of this caring congregation and studied the Bible together and had these meaningful conversations, that cord has gotten stronger and stronger. And I'm just going to tell you, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. We've had quite some doozies in our life. Many of y'all would say, a lot of doozies. Yes, we have. But a lot of people in this room have experienced the same kind of thing. We don't know what the future holds, but I continue to cling to God. We need to prepare because most of the storms of life come out of nowhere. Every storm in our life, we had no idea it was coming, and wham, there it was. Had no idea. But we're on this journey together. The three-strand cord that you have bound with God will act as an umbrella through every storm that you face. So putting God in the middle of your relationship is one of the most important things you can do. It is so much easier to get through the storms if God is in control. So that's point number one. And I spent a lot of time on that point because it's very meaningful in my life. But let's look at number two. Love makes time. Song of Solomon 6, verse 3 says, I am my beloved's and he is mine. Okay. That's actually on a ring that my husband gave me. And it has become a beautiful, meaningful verse in our life as well. In the beginning of marriage, we made a lot of time for each other. Everything was new and fun, and we're fixing up our little house, and we're getting everything just fixed so right. And I just look at his little eyes, and I just smile so big, and I just loved him so much. You know how that is. But as the seasons changed, our time became overwhelmed with changing diapers, sick children, going to ball games, and a very busy, busy life. It became easy to put marriage in a little compartment and sort of sweep it over to the side. And I know, and I would say, I know you're there. We know each other's there. We'll get back to you in a little bit. We're too busy right now living life. That happened to us a few times. We'd sort of get disengaged, especially in the earlier parts of our marriage when our children were young. That's a time when that can really happen. But as many of you in here know, that is not a good idea. God gave us marriage to be a blessing to each other, and that comes from us enjoying everything and every moment together. Marriage is a commitment. While we were busy doing life, we needed to do it together. And so we have, for the most part, done that, but we've had our moments where we've, you know, veered off the path, and I'm heading in this direction, and he's heading in that direction. We might cross paths because we were so busy with our children. While we were busy raising kids, though, they need to see us finding time for each other, making time for each other. Date nights and moments away are very important, and that is something we really tried to do when our kids were young. Kissing and holding hands is also important, even the yuck factor. That's especially important for them to see the love that you have with each other. Let them see you kiss them and hug them. And, you know, pat their back, things like that. Let them see that so that they will learn, hey, love is a good thing. And these two people love us. It, you know, it just makes the whole family world go around better. Marriage counselors Burkeen and Faulkner say that there are three very important times every day that you need to connect with your husband. You may have forgotten these if you've been married many years. So let's review them. The first is right before you leave for work in the morning, either you or your husband, whoever's leaving first. The first moments when you come home need to be connection moments, and the moments right before you go to bed. Let those be gentle, welcoming times when you reconnect and feel the love that God has given to you in your marriage. Maybe you were once great at hugging. You know, maybe that used to be an important part of your marriage. But maybe now he's lucky to get a quick glance when he walks in the door. You're cooking supper. You got all kinds of things on your mind. You go, oh, yeah, there he is. Put your stuff down. I need your help. You know, a lot of times that's what they get. So we need to reconnect. The home should be a place where we come together. They should want to be home, right, and be with us. One of Ed and I's favorite things to do is to laugh. We like to laugh, and if I told you why we laugh, you wouldn't get it, because most of the things are strange, but there are things, you know. So what do you have in your marriage that connects y'all? You know, that connects us. It sort of softens us. It has really been the best medicine in our own marriage, and laughter has been, and it has kept us from taking life so seriously. And we have, sometimes we realize, forget that big picture for a minute. We need to connect with each other because that is what God calls us to do. We're better when we do that. In marriage, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Make time for each other every day. All right, verse number three. Love makes peace. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that's found in Ephesians. This life verse is obviously a great reminder for us on how to love our husbands more perfectly in marriage. If we're humble and gentle and patient with each other, eager to keep peace in our relationship, our home life will be much better. They say that the women are usually the thermostat of the home. Did you know that? Your children, if they're stressed out and struggling and there's a lot of hollering going on, it takes mama's touch to sort of rein all that back in and keep everything calm. If your husband's stressed out or sort of zoned out, it takes his wife to sort of rein him back in through your gentle ways, through your compassion, through your patience when he's going through a hard time, maybe at work, things like that. This life verse is full of the heart of marriage. However, I wanted to tell you, I made a long list that I went over the other day with everyone. And so what I did today is I made a list, and I have stapled it to the back of your page. And we won't go over this today. But what you might do is take this home. And these are ways that this verse has been used in our family for me to be more of an encouragement to Ed. Also, these are things I've read, you know, off the internet and in articles. Ideas where we can be more loving and encouraging to our husband. We really don't have time to go over all of those today. But let me just say this. When he comes home, he needs to want to come home. And we need to be welcoming and kind with him when he gets there. Our whole marriage will be better when we practice that gentle nature with our husbands. So we're going to move on today to number 4, love forgives. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. This is a very personal scripture to me. I heard it one time at a marriage seminar. That's another good thing that Ed and I have done. We've gone to some really good marriage seminars over the years, and those are very helpful. Not because we were having problems necessarily. We just always have tried to do things to see what we can do to improve our marriage. And I know Ricky's a part of something like that. And I know there's a lot of good Christian ones out there for you to be a part of. Well, let's look at this verse. This is a great life verse for marriage because marriage is the union of two sinners. And a happy marriage is the union of two forgivers, two good forgivers. And that's what we need to learn a lot about in our marriage, is how to be a better forgiver. And in turn, I think we'll be forgiven better, right? There will be times that you and your husband will fail each other, mess up, and do things that are hurtful. There will be sin in your marriage. It is important to remember God's definition of love and how loving each other deeply can cover these sins and reconcile the two of you back together, and maybe reconcile your husband or yourself back to the church. Hiding this verse in my heart reminds me of the power of love. This verse can take shape in many ways and has in many ways in our life together. I want to say right here that while I consider myself to have a very happy marriage, we have both done hurtful things towards each other. We've been married 31 years, and unfortunately I have hurt him, you know, before, and he has hurt me before. But I think we've learned some good lessons through that. A few weeks ago in a sermon, David shared with us that selfishness is the single greatest enemy in a marriage. Our vows said it, for better or worse. Now I'm going to be the first to tell you that I really didn't have a clue what that would mean in our marriage. You know, yeah, I'll love him for better, I'll love him for worse. But I can tell you this, I have learned that I am a very selfish person. Gasp. But the sooner I admitted that, and it was pretty early on in my marriage, I realized that I grew up as an only child. You know, I was used to sort of having things my way. And then I realized, oh, there is another person in this house. I've got to take him into consideration, you know. So the sooner you can admit that and deal with it in your own life, the sooner you will learn more deeply how to love. I've also learned this. Ed is going to let me down. He is an awesome husband. He is a great guy, but he's let me down. He's not always going to be my knight in shining armor. It is a wise woman who recognizes early in marriage and accepts that there are moments when you will be unhappy in your marriage. It's not always going to be roses. See, you got to keep putting stuff in that box, right? But sometimes your husband doesn't put anything in the box, you know? And sometimes you're going to be unhappy. I have always, not always, but over the last, let's say, 20 years, I have used that time to turn my attention more intently to God. In fact, let's go ahead and acknowledge this. Our husbands will not meet all of our needs. We, a lot of times, go into marriage thinking they will. They will not meet all of our needs. If they did, then why would we need God? Right? They're going to meet our physical needs. They're going to meet a lot of needs in our lives. But they can't meet everything. They can't be everything to us. They're not God, right? So when we accept that, I think we become more forgiving and more loving to our husband. All right. I chose to marry Ed, so I must choose daily to forgive him. Instead of being selfish and saying, you can't treat me like that, you know, I've got to learn God's way, and that is to forgive Ed when he messes up. Not to say that I haven't rolled my eyes a few times at some of the things he's done, and he has probably seen some doozies as well out of me, but we have learned the power of forgiveness, and this verse really became meaningful to us. About 20 years ago, we heard this verse, and we were like, wow, that is, I don't know, something about it was very powerful. I feel confident that this verse may be a tough one for some people in this room. You may have been hurt so much, and you think, I can never get over this hurt, this kind of hurt. And maybe you think that my husband doesn't deserve that kind of love, the love that's so deep that it'll forgive in any situation. But our first order of business in life, remember, is about God and to love him. And God tells us that when we humble ourselves and serve our man, because the Bible tells us to, and God wants us to, and we want to be obedient to him, then he will soften our heart, and we can work through, I will say, almost, and probably almost, I can think of something that would be tough. There's some tough things out there, and we can soften our heart enough to forgive in almost every situation. And maybe all, you know, it depends on the situation. No. Great is thy faithfulness, and God gives us new mercies every morning when we seek him. So if this verse stepped on your toes today, pour it into your coffee cup, memorize it, read it, smell it, make it hot and meaningful and fresh in your life like a fresh cup of coffee, and soon you will begin to live it, and you will begin to see your husband with new eyes. So forgiveness is a very personal thing, but God tells us to do it, right? You win in marriage by losing the selfish desire to get your way. Talk and work together instead of fighting. This life verse has changed our marriage. And the last point today, and we just have a few minutes left, is number 5, love serves in every season. Philippians 2:3-4 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And to me, this verse really sums up our lesson today. This really tells us how to love, right? To get rid of ourself, like we just talked about, and to become a servant. And when we do that, our life is going to be better, and we're going to love our husbands more perfectly. They're hopefully going to love us more perfectly too. When we get rid of self, we free ourselves up to find joy in serving our husbands. Serving our husbands is a beautiful gift that we give God. Think of the story in John 12 of Mary. She entered the room where Jesus was and anointed him with a costly perfume. Everybody around her, you know, oh, I can't believe what this lady is doing. In our marriage, we need a servant's heart like hers. Jesus received that with love. He knew the love that she had in her heart, and we need to have that same kind of an attitude in our marriage. God calls us to serve him with gladness, and part of that is serving our husband. I remember being a newlywed and trying to figure it all out, so how to creatively find out what Ed's needs were, you know, and I wanted to serve him and be a good wife and all those good things. So I decided that every newlywed couple needed to have a picnic. So I packed this picnic, and I was going to surprise them. I had the cute basket somebody had given us as a wedding present, filled it with fried chicken and all these really cool things, and I was so proud of myself. And so he came home from class. We were still in college when we got married. So he came home from class, and I said, we're going on a picnic. He was worn out. Number one, he had no sleep. You know, it's a college student. Had lots going on, and he was like, okay, we'll go. So we go to the park in Auburn, Alabama. Go to the park on the hottest day of the year. It's about 142 degrees outside. And, you know, we sat down, and I'm just so excited as I was sweating, you know. I was so excited and fixed it all for him, you know. And he ate it, and he was really sweet about it. But I could tell something wasn't just right. And so we got in the car to leave, and he said, you know, I said, was that just a lot of fun? Did you want to do that again? He said, I'm just going to be real honest with you. He said, I don't think I'm really a picnic kind of guy. So I was like, okay, so, you know, strike that off the list. Now what can I do to make him happy, you know? I'm wanting to serve my man. Well, let me tell you what I did. A few weeks later, I turned on the air conditioner. Put a quilt on the floor in the house. He came home. I had food. We had a picnic in the house. And he said, now this is my kind of picnic. And I mean, I did pick the hottest time of year. And since then, we have gone on some picnics that have been pretty good. But that was not what he needed. I had to learn how to serve my man, you know. Years later, though, serving Ed as his caregiver has been full of challenges and trying to find new ways to creatively show him that I love him and serve him. While we were in Birmingham, we were there about a month in recovery. We had tough days. He went through a lot of physical therapy, a lot of speech therapy, and all kinds of therapies. And it was straight from one to one to one. And by the end of the day, we were both just worn out. And in my mind, I was still thinking, how can I serve my man? You know, I'm tired. I know he's tired. And he was so overwhelmed. And the very first week we were there, I was wheeling him down the hall to go to therapy. And we passed this little balcony. And I asked somebody, I said, what is that? And they said, oh, you can go out there. So I got the idea. So every day after therapy, I'd say, we're going on our date. And before we go back to the room, we'd stop at the balcony, go out on the balcony, watch the sunset. It wasn't hot. It wasn't so hot. He doesn't like hot. So it wasn't so hot, and we'd sit out there. They had little picnic tables. Sometimes I could sneak up a Starbucks because there was a Starbucks right down the hall. Sometimes I could get us a cookie or something, and we would have a few moments, and we started calling them our dates. And even our nurses would say, where'd you go on your date today? What'd y'all do on your date today? You know, but the point is I was trying to find ways to serve my husband. I am not a perfect person, and I have failed many times in that area. But when I have served him, and that is a special way for me to show love to him, and it just all the way around makes our marriage a better marriage. It makes him love me more, and he tries desperately to find ways to serve me. And I could go on and on about this. And I know class is over, so we're going to go ahead and wind it up here. But let me just say this, too. Serving is a very intimate thing. It is a very private and personal thing. It's a very precious gift that you can give your husband. But also serving together. Some of the best times we've had in our marriage is when we got out and served together. Even after his stroke, we found little things that we could do that have blessed our marriage so much because we forgot about ourselves for a little bit and we got out together and served. And if you're not finding ways to serve together with your husband, do it. It's really been a huge blessing in our marriage. Let's sum everything up today with one final scripture, and that is 1 Corinthians 16:14. Let all that you do be done in love. And so let's keep filling our box, ladies. Let's keep working at our love, connecting hand in hand with God in our marriage. Let's be intentional by making time for our husband. Let's keep talking and being gentle in our approach with our husband. Let's keep forgiving him because he's going to mess up and he can't meet all our needs. And let's keep serving him. And when we do those things, I think that our marriage will be a blessing to the children in your family, to the world around you, to our church, to your work world, and all those things. So think about it today. How's your love life? What can you put in your box this week to bless your marriage? I love you, ladies. Thank you so much.